start the meeting. Join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And the board will be convening today as only the Board of Supervisors, no other entities. And if I could do a quick roll call.
Let's do a roll call, Wendy.
Supervisor Howe?
Present.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Here.
Supervisor Okrin?
Present.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Here.
And Supervisor Chris is not in the room.
Supervisor Chris is not in the room, but he is participating. He is listening. He is online. He's just listening, so but he will not be participating.
Okay, thank you.
With that, we're going to go with presentations from the public. Anyone want to make a presentation there? Someone raise their hand there, Anna.
Caller ending in 1137, it's your turn to speak. Battery 100%.
I'm sorry?
Okay, go ahead. We can hear you now.
Okay, thank you. The audio seems to be a little warbled today, and I know that's not your fault. I'm just letting you know it's hard for people to understand what's being said. So first of all, I wanted to ask the county on behalf of the residents of Siskiyou County if they are working on or would they please work on a property value assessment list, going back like maybe, you know, like 1995 or before 2000 when all of this property value stuff started declining, to present to the KRRC's Limited Mitigation Fund so that we have comparative values of what our property values would look like in another area, you know, without all of the hits that have been taken. I know that former Mike Mallory has done work on behalf of the county before he retired and moved out of state, that he was incredibly upset with what was happening with the property values during this process. So I would like to see some sort of study done, or not study, report done on behalf of the citizens to present to the administrators of the Limited Mitigation Fund to show actual values and not just continued devaluation. We would like to try and get the most for our property values and not the least, which is what they've shown in the past EIS, EIRs, when they've devalued our properties by not including improvements and things like that. And I was curious what was going on with Supervisor Chris. Is he listening or is participating? Thank you very much.
We need your name for the record, ma'am. I figured, but
we need to hear.
Yeah.
Can you unmute her?
Caller ending in 1137, can you please state your name for the record?
Yes, it's Chrissy Reynolds.
Okay, thank you. And Supervisor Chris is listening online.
Can't participate.
But he cannot participate.
Because of the notice requirements, the new law.
Caller ending in 0420, it's your turn to speak.
Hello, this is Richard Marshall in Scott Valley. I'm calling today to let the board know a couple of important issues. One is a taxpayer lawsuit filed by Mr. Antizo, which is going to be heard on the 30th. And we are in the process of setting up a funding account for that. And the second thing is the California GOP is considering a resolution at their convention in Sacramento to support the efforts to retain the dams.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else online?
Thank you.
Showing more others online.
Okay, in the house we have Ann Noel.
Good morning. My name's Ann Noel. I'm representing as a resident and also KRCE Board of Director. I want to thank whoever helped us with the road situation on Kotko Road, Agger, with the amount of trucks that have been going in and out. I finally heard a rumor that it was about the hatchery on Fall Creek, but they were speeding. It was horrible. I wrote letters to the website that the county has set up, and then that person responded to me and had me go to the roads committee, the road people. Never heard back from them at all. I also went to KRRC to complain about it. I was very, very happy to see that eventually, after a lot of emails, that they are slowing down. There's fewer trucks. But the damage that's happening out there is huge. This is a picture of the road damage on Kotko heading towards our campground. It was a matter of a week when we started seeing the asphalt being pushed up and fell off on the road. So then I started wanting to know what the MOU was with the county, because I'm going, why isn't anybody out here looking at this? They were going so fast, and there were so many of those trucks that we were being backed up, stopping in order for them to make those blind curves. So anyway, I know somebody did something, because they have slowed down and there's fewer trucks. I eventually did travel all the way up to Fall Creek because I wanted to see whoever responded to the website that you guys have set up, that special page, said, oh, well, they're doing a road survey, and then eventually we will know how much traffic is there. So I went up there and I didn't see anything. So I don't know who's doing a survey, if it's over, what's going on. But I just want to say thank you for whoever slowed him down. Why weren't we on top of this before it caused the damage? And hopefully today's meeting, I'll hear more from the roads department as to what they're going to do about that. One of the big things we were really worried about, which will probably be playing out within this week, is that with this kind of damage on the road and our snowpack coming in, that once this is covered up, if a vehicle is traveling on Kotko and goes on that bank, that they could possibly wreck. And so just wanted to bring that forward.
Thank you.
Did you want to present that picture for
yes.
the record? How can
Susan
hear it? Thank you.
Good morning. And I do thank you for what you're doing here, at least bringing this to attention. We have issues regarding our facilities on the campground that the KRRC is not bothering to come out and talk to us or do anything at all, so we're going to make them public here. Anyway, I have a letter here, and I've got a few copies. There have been many changes to the overall plan for dam removal, and this is addressed to Mr. Branson. Dam removal since Klamath River Country Estates Owners Association received your responses to our concerns in a May 11, 2020 letter. That's our last contact. As activities have moved forward, the Board of Directors would like a more definitive response to the issues noted below. Your May 11, 2020 letter essentially confirmed that property and economic damages to the corporation or its properties and assets or to the properties owned by KRCEOA members and owners due to dam removal would not be compensated. However, and quote, loss of well production or increase in flood risk or slope instability physically caused by the project were suggested but not actually confirmed. That was one of their responses to us. KRRC has yet to test or to monitor the water well on the KRC campground adjacent to the Klamath River. Therefore, the board is requesting this issue to be rectified. Please contact the KRC EOA office at the number shown above to make arrangements for the testing as soon as possible. KRC's definite plan speaks to our cable suspension bridge across the Klamath River on page 272. The plan notes that KRRC, quote, will evaluate the structure during the detailed design phase, and that a determination would be made as to whether the bridge is to be removed or replaced at KRRC's expense. When is this detailed design phase, and when is the owner of the pedestrian bridge, which is KRCE, when are we going to be consulted? Nothing's come across about that either. This bridge was not built by the previous owners, and that was a quote from page 272 of their report, but was part and parcel of the development of the campground and is an asset of the corporation. Elimination of such an asset requires a vote of the membership. It's not within the board of directors' authority to make a determination as to whether or not KRRC may remove the bridge. The KRRC bridge, or KRCEOA board is obligated and has maintained the bridge since about 1969. Please set up the stated consultation by calling our office to let us know what KRRC's detailed design for our bridge is exactly. So far, we just hear things. We expect to hear from you within the next few days, hopefully, regarding the scheduling of the well monitoring and testing, and to review the detailed design plans for our walk bridge over the Klamath River so that we can bring this type of thing to the board's attention. Thank you, and thank you for what you're doing here, making this public. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we have one more online.
Caller ending in 4919, it's your turn to speak.
Good morning. This is Francis Gill from Copco Lake, Fire Chief. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to concur with Chrissy. The audio is pretty hard to hear. The in-house audio, the Zoom call audio seems fine, but at any rate, I'm glad you can hear me. I just wanted to bring up a couple of things. One, which I'm probably sure you've heard plenty of, is the speeding trucks on Copco and Ager Road. To me, they're still an issue. I got cut off on the Klamathon Bridge yesterday by one that cut the corner, and luckily it wasn't icy yet, but that could certainly cause some sort of an accident. The second thing, also relating to road safety, is the fire chief. I'd like to ask the county and the road department to consider extending guardrails on the on Patricia Avenue, on the main part of the first hill, and also look into putting guardrails in between the Mallard Cove launch ramp area and what's considered to be Goose Meadow, which is it's kind of the cliff areas along the lake, very narrow and windy. And with the increase in traffic that we're about to see out here, I mean, they should be there anyway because it's just really dangerous parts of the road. But I think might be wise and safe to look into installing some guardrails out here in those areas. And then lastly, and I feel most importantly, last Thursday I wrote an email to the Klamath Mitigation Fund through their email address on their website, and addressing a few issues, one being that Ms. Linda Ebert, along with anybody else who doesn't use the internet, has no way of contacting the fund or being able to hold any type of virtual meeting whatsoever with the fund administrators. But anyway, I wrote that email on Tuesday morning at about 10:30. And as of yet, I have not received a response from the fund. So I don't think that's off to a good start for property owners at Copco Lake if we have zero contact with these people after, you know, it's been 5 days now since I wrote the email. It was nice to have had them introduce themselves to us at the last meeting, and I felt kind of good after the meeting that made, you know, these people are going to be easy to work with. And then 2 days later, I wrote an email that has yet gone, it's continued to go unreplied to. So I just wanted to bring those things to your attention, and I thank you for everything. I was planning on being there this morning in person, but the weather kept me out, so
okay,
I'm grateful for the Zoom call opportunity.
Thank you. Anyone else? Moving right along, we're going to go on to the item A, presentation of an update regarding the Lower Klamath Dam decommissioning project.
Thank you, and I will speak. I'm trying to speak very clearly and loudly into the microphone, so hopefully those online can hear me. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator, and before I start off, I just want to provide a reminder based on one of the comments today that the best way for staff here to know if issues going out on site that we're not aware of is to contact us, and the response to the roads concerns is thanks to our public information officer, Allie Kutzer, and our director of public works, Tom Deeney, who will be providing an update on roads and bridges today. But we are constantly monitoring our email and responding. That email address again is lkdinfo@co.siskiyou.ca.us. That is provided on our webpage for the Klamath Dams project. And I believe that most people online and in this room have my phone number, but my desk phone for those who do not use email is 530-842-8012, and I will make sure that you are responded to regarding any inquiries that you make. So today I do have quite a few updates just based on county activities regarding the Klamath Dams, as well as the Klamath Dam proponents, their activities out on site. This information I'm presenting today will be pulled into a report today or tomorrow and posted on our webpage. It is not available as of now, but I will make it available today or tomorrow. So county staff has been coordinating with KRRC and their contractors on multiple facets related to the Lower Klamath decommissioning project. And today I will provide a brief overview of this coordination and associated work. The county is and continues to have regularly scheduled meetings that include county staff, the Klamath River Renewal Corporation, and KRRC's contractors, mainly Camas, McMillan Corporation, Kiewit, and Rez. One piece I have heard from the public as of late is a lack of understanding of who the subcontractors are under KRRC and what roles they fulfill. I have a brief summary of each one of the main ones here. So Camas provides environmental consulting services to governments, businesses, and landowners seeking assistance with land and water-related projects. And specifically to this project, Camas leads the compliance management program related to the project and ensures environmental compliance and obtaining necessary regulatory permits. Kiewit Corporation, which is one of the corporations that I think folks hear of most, is a large engineering and construction organization, and they serve as the primary contractor for the project in completing many facets of the project, including but not limited to demolition and construction services, consulting material supply, material disposal, hauling, lodging, roadway maintenance and repair, and dam removal, excavation, and demolition. That's just naming a few of what they're providing for this project. McMillan Corporation provides owner's representation services and will help to ensure that all various phases are operating in concert with one another. McMillan Jacobs is a full-service engineering, construction management, and environmental performing construction firm in water resources, hydropower, fisheries, water conveyance, irrigation, transportation, heavy civil engineering, and underground markets. And lastly, Rez is an ecological restoration company and will lead restoration activities for the river, streams, and lands inundated by the former reservoirs and other areas. So in specific to coordination between the county and KRRC and their contractors, in the near future, KRRC contractors will be submitting several applications for construction and demolition activities at COPCO 1 and 2, and our Community Development Department will issue permits related to these applications following the contractor's submittal. As of now, we are aware of 18 applications that will be submitted in relation to those construction and demolition activities at COPCO 1 and 2. KRRC contractors are also actively developing a project-wide sign figure, which will provide signage out on the project area and along roads. They will be providing this figure to the county for review, and then on the specific departments, including Public Works, will determine if any encroachment permits are needed. As the public is aware, KRRC's contractors will be establishing a labor camp in the vicinity of COPCO 1, and implementation of this labor camp is expected to start in March. KRRC contractors will be submitting a hazardous materials plan to Community Development for review. Siskiyou County staff at this time considers permitting of the septic system to be outside of county jurisdiction due to its size and to be within the Regional Water Quality Control Board jurisdiction. County staff has and will continue to coordinate with KRRC's contractors and the Water Quality Control Board on this topic. And based on available information as of now, and of course we are waiting for more material to be submitted by KRRC's contractors, county staff considers other permits related to the labor camp to be within the State Housing and Community Development Department due to its occupancy use. County staff will inform KRRC's contractors of this and make any needed coordination with the state. I will be sure to let the board know if any of that information changes based on what is submitted. KRRC's contractors have also initiated work to relocate the Iron Gate Fish Hatchery to the Fall Creek location. Electrical permits for the contractor's temporary construction trailers have been issued. There have been three permits, one for the Coho building, one for the Chinook building, and one for the spawning building, which will be issued shortly with respect to those specific buildings. There will also be one permit issued for the propane tank on location, and this will be coordinated with the Air Pollution Control District, the Siskiyou County Air Pollution Control District. Mr. Deeney will provide some information on work out there related to roads and bridges. The Siskiyou County Air Pollution Control District has also had two recent meetings with KRRC's contractors related to the authorities under the Siskiyou County Air Pollution Control District. And KRRC's contractors have ensured that all equipment required for dam removal activities will be registered in compliance with state requirements. And KRRC contractors will ensure that all required permits through the California Air Resources Board are complied with. If any equipment, according to our Air Pollution Control District, if any equipment is found to be out of compliance, this will be a local enforcement issue handled by the Siskiyou County Air Pollution Control District. And the Siskiyou County Air Pollution Control District does plan to perform periodic inspections out on site. I was just informed yesterday afternoon by KRRC's Director Mark Branson that they will be accelerating their schedule for closing and decommissioning recreation facilities. This is in response to concerns regarding public safety along roadways and to reduce the anticipated traffic later into the summer. So they originally planned to start closing and removing those facilities this summer. They will be moving that up. And KRRC is aiming to shift some of this traffic to spring and early summer. We should hear within the coming weeks exactly what their plans are, but my understanding is that recreational sites will be closed in early May. I've received several comments every time I'm in front of the board, and public comments addressed to the local impact mitigation fund and when we will be hearing more information. The board is aware, probably some members of the public, Joan Smith Freeman and Monty Mendenhall came in front of this board at the last regular board meeting last week to announce that they will be the administrators of that fund. It is now being referred to as the Klamath Mitigation Fund. I was provided with a list of frequently asked questions that Ms. Smith and Mr. Mendenhall developed and what they are up on their website right now. I do want to point out a couple of items in that document, understanding it's of vital concern to the public and that neither of the representatives were able to be here today. I want to make clear before I dive into this that this is information I received directly from that FAQ and directly from the Klamath Mitigation Fund, and that Siskiyou County has no ties with the Klamath Mitigation Fund. We play no role in the Klamath Mitigation Fund, but I want to be sure to share this information. So as the public is aware, KRRC has previously developed materials and provided the public with information regarding the Local Impact Mitigation Fund, which was to be developed to provide compensation to landowners impacted by dam removal. As announced during the regular board meeting last week, this fund is now being referred to as the Klamath Mitigation Fund and will be administered by former City Council member Joan Smith Freeman and former Pacific Corps employee Monty Mendenhall. This fund, according to the Klamath Mitigation Fund, will provide compensation for specific physical impacts to private property owners that are caused or potentially caused by a Klamath dam removal. These impacts include temporary relocation to ensure safety for individuals with homes and or underlying lands immediately adjacent to Kopko Reservoir in the case of slumping or other instability in the reservoir slope during the period of reservoir drawdown, as well as for any damages to homes, underlying lands as a result of slope instability, increased risk of flood for certain dwellings downstream of Iron Gate Dam, and potentially reduced production in groundwater wells that may be hydrologically linked to a reservoir. According to the information provided to me by the Klamath Mitigation Fund, wells must be within 1,000 feet of Kopko Reservoir to be eligible for compensation. I encourage members of the public to go directly to the website and grab this FAQ list. We will also be providing it on our webpage. The fund's eligibility criteria determine which properties are eligible to participate in the fund. And this criteria is based on, is according to the mitigation fund, this criteria is based on extensive technical analysis that determined which properties may experience physical impacts as a direct result of the Klamath Dam Removal Project. Each affected property owner with properties that meet the required criteria will decide whether to enter into a settlement with respect to such claims through discussions with the fund administrators. The fund will provide compensation to selected property owners who will be responsible for making any improvements to address impacts as they may choose. It is my understanding that very soon, within the next week, property owners will be receiving correspondence from the fund administrators. And of course, I encourage them to visit klamathmitigation.org. The email for the mitigation fund is klamathmitigationfund@gmail.com. And the public, if they choose to do so, is always free to include our email in that. If they want to keep us abreast of what they're doing, they can choose not to as well. And again, our email is lkdinfo@co.siskiyou.ca.us. Although Siskiyou County has no role in the Klamath Mitigation Fund, we want to make sure that we are making the best available information to the public and to assist landowners as need be, to the extent that we can. Lastly, regarding public safety, county staff is sharing with our Siskiyou County Sheriff's Department any concerns that we receive, and I'm sure the Siskiyou County Sheriff's Department is receiving concerns of their own. The Sheriff's Department has been coordinating with other safety partners and KRRC, and we hope to have the sheriff in front of the board at a future meeting to provide additional information. With that, again, I will be providing this information in a report. It will be available on our webpage within the next day or two, and I will email out to my points of contact, and I'm happy to take any questions that the board may have.
Michael, Thank you. Is there a way that, I'm looking at the county website right now, can we just put another little dot that has Klamath Dam removal, and that would link everything, because where will I find Klamath-related issues? It's kind of buried, isn't it?
So you ask me right now, and I'm thinking of a pathway, and we will make it more available on the Facebook page.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
Angela Davis, County Administrator, yes, we will place a button on the front page. Perfect. For Klamath Dam, so that it'll,
yep,
be a direct
link
to all information.
Perfect. Thank you. And did we get any reply out of, I know when Director Bonham called in at our last Klamath meeting, he was a bit distressed about no contact or not receiving contact back from KRRC to residents up in that vicinity. Are they going to open an office in Siskiyou County or somewhere with regard to the project site, or that they're more readily available versus Berkeley?
When you say they, you mean KRRC, correct?
KRRC, yes.
I am not aware of them opening up an office. I will reach out after this meeting and inquire as to that.
Okay, and I think it should be required, personally, but you can't hide in Berkeley too long over it. It's, you know, rubber's getting ready to meet the road, and they need to be here. I think the other thing for me is, if there is additional response, sheriff time, if there's additional response, road department time, we need to be tracking that, because it's probably things that are the unintended consequence. I know in other projects that we've had in the county, usually the project proponent is potentially liable for those costs, but I think we need to keep track of it, because it probably was something we didn't foresee. Thank you.
Correct. Noted.
Thank you. I know the county has no role in the impact mitigation fund. However, I do. I have a direct role in representing the people that are going to be affected by this. I'll say right up front, an email's not going to work for me. What I'd like to see is this board put together a letter, either requesting, I'd call it a demand letter, that we have a phone contact, that we can deal with issues as representatives of the public in real time. I want to move on to a couple other things, too. Who set the 1,000-foot thing around Copco for the wells? Where did that come from? That's news to me.
I have inquired about that and have not been provided that information. I did inquire yesterday afternoon. I want to make that clear. It wasn't like a week ago. But I will be sure to provide that information.
Okay.
I sent an email to Joan Smith Freeman and Monty Mendenhall specific to that.
Okay, and what I'm concerned about is, I know downriver, there are a number of wells right adjacent to the river. The wells could be affected, and I know they were interested in the program from the very beginning. This would not include them, which is nothing that was analyzed in the EIR.
Understood, which is exactly the reason I reached out. I'm sure we will have more questions in the future, but that one popped out specifically.
Okay. And then regarding permits, you went through a litany of those that have been approved already. We were waiting to see an approval of an Army Corps permit. Do you know if that's been secured yet? And then I'm not sure what other outstanding permits may be pending that are either in our jurisdiction or in the federal jurisdiction, but if you could maybe disclose that at next month's update.
Will do.
And then on the APCD board, the interaction, the actual board, this board, which we told it has had no contact with KRRC. So I'm assuming staff is the ones that are actually working with the KRRC on the air quality issues. Are there permits required that the board is going to have to review and approve?
I am not aware. So the meetings have been with James Smith, our Ag Commissioner,
right,
and his support staff. He, at this point, he has not identified any specific permits, but however, we are continuing to have those meetings, and as more material is submitted to the Air Pollution Control District, Mr. Smith and his staff will be able to make those determinations. We've only had two meetings so far.
Okay. We, I only bring it up because the directors haven't met in quite a while. I think it's
okay.
Time we do meet and at least have a presentation on what's being done between the Air Board and KRRC.
The local Air Board.
Yeah, the local Air Board.
Will do.
Thank you.
Anything else? Are you done?
Regarding the Climate Mitigation Fund, I just wonder where they came up with the number of property owners that are being impacted. How far? Why aren't any more being served? Why is it just the people that are directly around the two reservoirs and not further down the river? And how is that determined? When it comes to flood mitigation, I think there's a further impact than just directly around the reservoirs.
The downriver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The redescription
yeah.
of floodplain.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So I think that needs to be looked at a little bit more closely.
Yes.
Or at least addressed.
Yes.
I agree with the comment about the 1,000-foot. Yeah, where did that come from? With the wells. We need to look at that a little bit more closely. Somebody needs to look at that a little bit more closely. There's just a lot of arbitrary numbers and figures being thrown around that need to be looked at before people are just appeased with money. I do believe that this is they're settling for something instead of being made whole for something that they're never going to be able to recover from. And that doesn't sit well with me. And then one of the other contractors that I'm not sure about, I think, that's being involved is Merit, and I don't know where they fall into it. I'm asking a question, I'm not sure. So maybe you can get back to me on that.
Will do.
On that.
Will do.
I think they're included in there, and I'm not positive.
And before I develop my report, I will look into that as well, and if it needs to be included, I will be sure to include.
That's all I've got for now. Thanks.
Are the back, yeah?
Not sure. On the 1,000-foot setback, Condit Dam, Pacific Gore had to go 9 miles to provide water to those that were depleted, and they had to put in a municipal water supply. So look forward to seeing if that's going to happen here as well. So we need to keep that front and center. That's, you know, it's already been borne out. With regard to the Air Board permits on equipment, I hope that the requirement is the same that's provided locally to timber industry and everyone else that's trying to comply. There shouldn't be any exemptions for the type of equipment that's required or permitted. So I'll leave it at that as a follow-up.
Just a quick one. I don't know how this works, but I know we'll be notified at some point to re-describe floodplain, and that will go before the commission. I'd like to know when that trigger's pulled and by whom.
Perhaps we'll get FEMA in here to redo it and do it sooner than later.
Yeah, I think we'll be directed, is what I was told, but I don't know by whom and when.
So through the chair, I thought that we needed to have that established before rebuild downriver so that they knew what the new floodplain was. We heard about that a few months ago, but I don't know that there's been any comments.
I haven't seen any movement on it.
I haven't either, but I will be sure to check in with that.
And we might reach out to the Karuk Tribal Council with regard to that, because I think they have homes that are going to be rebuilt. And I had given Council Member Hakaday heads up about that last fall or somewhere in there, but they were not aware of it at the time, so.
Yeah, so one of the things and the reason why I suggested we have a special meeting regarding this, I see this as a rolling, ongoing, so you're going to get these and get back with, next week with the update or whatever. You know, I'm surprised that we don't have the Karuk Tribe in here with us, and I'm surprised that we don't have a KRC representative in here. So maybe we reach out and ask that they participate to the extent that they can.
I'll reserve my comments for when Mr. Newman steps up.
Let's move on to the next item, shall we? Item B?
Yes. Me again, Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. So as the board's aware, normally contracts like this come to the board on consent agenda. However, understanding the nature of this project and this contract, I wanted to provide the board and the public with just a quick background of how we got here. And then we do have our contractor online. She would like to make a quick introduction. So in December of 2022, the county entered into a memorandum of understanding between the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, the Klamath River Renewal Corporation, and Pacific Corps. This MOU details that the county will retain and Pacific Corps will fund a contracted project manager for the county to help issue and administer county permits related to the project and associated activities, and coordinate with KRRC and Pacific Corps on the implementation of the project and associated activities. Pacific Corps agreed to fund the project manager up to $150,000 for the first 12 months of the MOU and $150,000 for the second 12 months of the MOU. Pacific Corps has submitted the first 12-month payment to the county, so we really appreciate that. If required, the terms and conditions of the MOU may be extended beyond the 24-month period upon mutual agreement of all parties. On January 6, following the approval of the MOU, county staff released a request for proposals for a project manager, and this RFP closed on January 27, 2023. Following staff review of the responsive RFPs, staff selected CKM Environmental to fulfill the project manager responsibilities. I will let Chelsea Murphy, owner of CKM Environmental, to provide a brief background and outline of her anticipated work as the project manager. And following her introduction, staff is requesting that the board approve the contract and authorize the chair to sign. So with that, if Chelsea can make her introduction, that'd be great.
Battery 100%.
Oh, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
We can hear you.
Okay, good. Thank you. I'm Chelsea Murphy, the owner of CKM Environmental, and first and foremost, I'd like to say thank you to the board and to the county for this opportunity. I have been working with the county since 2018 on the Klamath project while I was with SWCA Environmental Consultants, and have since opened up my own shop. I have been in the environmental sector for over 16 years now. I've worked on several dam removal projects. I'm very familiar with FERC and large construction projects. I have served clients on helping with permitting and compliance and understanding large complicated projects for at least the last 10 years. And I am excited to be able to be here to support you all moving forward. I also wanted to say that Elizabeth and I are working on getting me up there during the next special board meeting so I can meet you all in person, and I can be there to help answer questions and be a resource to you all, the county, and the public on this project. Thank you.
Let's see if there's any questions from the board. Chair's out.
I think it's a good choice.
Yeah, I support the choice as well. And Chelsea, I just remind, I guess, all of us that many of the projects that come before Siskiyou County, it's incumbent upon the proponent of a project to provide the details of what they're going to do versus county staff, which will now be you as well. And I refer to just a normal homeowner that's building a house has to have a set of engineered plans before it can go forward for approval. So I don't want to, skate what's required. So, but thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes.
So, but Chelsea, if I could, I'm curious to know, you're obviously not here in the area, but you did say you would come out for the next special meeting. I think more important to me, the special meeting aside, I'd rather that time spent out in the field dealing with the people and the things that are probably going to be more important. So I'm just curious how you plan to attack that.
Yeah, yes, sir. So I obviously don't live in the area, but I have lots of experience up in rural parts of California. I plan on coming out multiple times for in-person visits, and you're 100% right. My time will really be focused working with county departments and working with the public. I'm very aware, as I think the fire chief up in Kopko had mentioned, that there are accessibility issues to things like the internet. And so I want to make sure that the information is getting out to the public in the best ways possible. And that is gonna, the approach for that is going to range very widely. I need to work with Elizabeth a little bit more closely on what you guys would like to see, but I have proposed holding meetings, going door to door, posting information that's physical in places like supermarkets, et cetera, where people can like have the information, know who to reach out to if they have any questions. And I wanna also help be a conduit to make sure that people that have questions that aren't getting answered from the project proponent and their subcontractors, that I can help grease those wheels and get those answers. So if there is frustration by not getting responses from those folks, they can come to me and I can help try to get those answers for them.
How about answers like floodplain issues?
I have that in my notes.
Thank you. All right, any more other questions on the board? What would you like to do?
Move to approve.
Second.
Wendy, please.
I just have a quick question. Is this going through DocuSign?
Yes.
We don't need a signature date.
Correct.
Thank you. Okay. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Dini, you're up next.
Good morning, Board. Tom Dini, I'm the Director of Public Works and Road Commissioner of Siskiyou County. I'm here to provide an update with our interactions with the dam removal project so far. First up is that I'll talk about is the road conditions. We are aware of the additional damage that has been on our roads from the heavy hauling and all the traffic. I will address that further when I talk about the MOU at the end of my presentation, but just what we have done so far is we are declaring from the Klamath On Bridge all the way up a road construction zone and applying a speed limit of 35 miles an hour. We had gone out and done our road survey, our speed survey, and I know we had somebody come up here and say that they couldn't see that we had done that yet. That's sort of the whole point. We put radar detectors out and measured the speed. The speed limit that would have been set by that survey was too high for the current conditions of the road, which is why we're initiating a construction zone. Those signs should be up hopefully by the end of this week. Weather has slowed us down there some, but we are currently building the signs, have all the locations out, and have done the USA locate so we can drop the posts and put those signs up. The entire purpose of putting up this road construction zone is to aid law enforcement in enforcement activities throughout there when there are trucks speeding down the road. As road commissioner, I have no enforcement abilities at all, but we can lower the speed limit temporarily while the dam is being removed 35 miles an hour. That is what's appropriate. A speed any lower than that would increase the chances of a rear-end collision on that road. The study shows that 35 miles an hour is the safe speed that we can have. If we have trucks changing lanes, driving unsafely, that's going to have to be dealt with here. couple other things. We have been working on the new fish hatchery out at Fall Creek. We got the plans late, and Public Works and our engineering staff and I was not able to review them due to the FERC exemption. So we had to work with Jacobs because their plans were not appropriate for that area, and they would have violated the county's encroachment. By working together, we were able to change the bridge approach and have them change a little bit of their elevations to make sure that we have our full right-of-way is protected through there. That took several weeks of back and forth, but they were willing to work with us, and we met something that that is workable and safe for the county there. Also, Crest Lane is another section of road improvement that needs to be done. Essentially, it is it will be a third lane made out of concrete on one side of the road, so their large heavy hauls can make the turn up onto Crest Lane and gain access to the dam. The first set of drawings that were lined out were functionally appropriate, but did not have the appropriate regard for road safety that was needed. So we had to redraw those plans, and working with Kiewit there, we're able to make something that's going to work. The final thing that we need to talk about is the MOU, and I imagine that that's going to have the most questions, and it's the most in-depth thing. So the MOU that was drafted between Pamela River, KRRC, and the county was incomplete. There were several things missing out of the MOU that are required. First of all was there was no way to escalate the price from when the MOU was originally drafted and to now, right? When this MOU was drafted, since then, the war in Ukraine and other global measures have increased the cost of oil, right? And oil is the main proponent of road building materials. So our costs have gone up. Just the material, well over 100% since that time. Another thing that was not thoroughly addressed was the deterioration in road condition from the time that the MOU was written to now. The not having a firm start date on the dam removal hurt us there, because the previous Public Works administration was not putting money into that dam, knowing that we were going to be running heavy traffic over it, which was the right decision at the time. But the major component, the one that needs to be addressed, and what the main focus of our meetings have been about with both Pacific Corp and KRRC, is there is no mention of what happens for road failure during the project. That is of a major concern both to us as the county and for them as the project. The question that I posed was, what happens when you're running an ultra-heavy load, a permitted load, and you cave through the concrete out there at COPCO? How does that get fixed? Who's responsible? And what does that look like? We have raised all these concerns, and they are reworking on a proposal to address that specifically and get back to us. The things that we have done is we have done the video survey of the road, not we. Canvas has done the videos, and Kiewit have done the video survey of the road, and in the MOU we are protected, saying that the road will be returned to the same condition it was or better when we started. The monies that were set aside for both Kiewit to dig out the road to add the stability that's going to be required to run those ultra heavy loads and to do repairs, that was all supposed to be done up front, and then the county was going to do an overlay. My proposal is we move all that to the back end. And we repair the roads as needed, like the caving. I've seen that picture before. Those need to be addressed now, and then when we're done, we go back and restore the road to the condition that's needed. Trying to do the repair work up front is like trying to guess how much damage is going to occur, and the probability of us getting that correct on the first try is very low. So my suggestion is this, and we are reworking the MOU. We withhold the county's funds for the repair, do the overlay at the end of the project, and that Kiewit maintains the road, the big cave-ins and whatnot, to make sure they can get their equipment up there during the project. And we have something added to the MOU as to what happens for catastrophic failure. I know that there's questions, so let's start there.
Thank you.
Would you like to go first? So while you're over?
Sure. The roads have been my fear from the beginning. And if they might be the only legacy we leave the people that live there. So hopefully we can give them the best product possible at the end of all this. They're not going to have a view. They're not going to have a lake. The best thing we can leave them is a legacy of decent roads. So I'm grateful to you for seeing the end project being the absolute best it can be, because we're starting off with not very good roads. What's going to happen is a disaster, in my eyes, because we're already seeing it falling apart in front of us. So hopefully what you're able to do is come up with a better product at the end that'll last. And hopefully, you know, the error of our ways in creating an MOU that was not perfect, you can steer us in a better direction. We need a lot more money and equipment to fix those roads and make them hopefully better than what they started out. There's going to be so much more traffic and huge, heavy equipment running up and down these roads for the next few years. And hopefully, we won't have to bear that cost entirely. And we can turn out a better product, because right now it's not proving to look good for us.
Yes, ma'am, and I agree. My experience so far is that KRRC is willing to work with us, and they realize that there's a hole in the MOU as well. I still haven't gotten my response back from our meeting a week or two ago when they're going to readdress the MOU and come back to me. Also, I did forget to mention, when we started getting the complaints about the speeding trucks, I reached out to Pacific Corps and to Kiewit and told them that they needed to slow the trucks down and give them a heads up that that was going to be a construction zone. And I think we've had some limited success there. There's always room for a few improvement. We sent it to as part of lowering the speed limit and trying to be transparent. We did send a letter, or I sent a letter rather, as road commissioner to Pacific Corps, letting them know about the reduced speed and that they're going to have to put a changeable message board out there, and that message board is to be updated with what activities are occurring on the road, so the public knows what's going on, what they're getting into, and they start headed up that way.
Yeah, I hope there will be some level of respect to the residents that live there and the public that are on those roads by the contractors. This is a difficult situation for everybody. We all know the contractors have work to do, but I would hate to think that it's going to take an accident or a fatality before there are some real restrictions on those roadways. That would be a bad thing. Or a fatality to one of the contractors by driving off the road and landing up down in a ditch or over the edge. That would be bad.
I agree with that, and public safety is the main concern, right, as road commissioner, and that is another reason why we decided to make that a road construction zone, because the penalties for violating those rules are harsher than if I had just gone through there and dropped the speed limit.
Yeah. I'll leave it there.
Go ahead.
I got a couple. One, I know how the MOU works. It's more of a assurance or reimbursement kind of a mechanism. My concern, I guess, is that, and I don't know how you're going to do that. That's why I'm asking this question. All along with this project, anybody that comes in here as a contractor seems to imply they have exclusive use. I want to know how we, as a county, maintain our ability to immediately address the needs of the public so that our road isn't commandeered by a third party, or that excludes the public passage without undue delays and things.
I think I understand your question. So, to paraphrase, it'd be like, how are we keeping this thing from turning into Kiewit's driveway, right?
Well,
so,
yeah, I mean, I there's a certain arrogance with this project that I'm after here.
I understand. So, in our discussions, the approach that I've been taking is I'm treating them like any other contractor would be working on any other section of county road, regardless of the project. So, they will have to be running pilot cars and flaggers just like everybody else, and follow standard protocol as far as letting people through and all that. Now, if that doesn't start to work out because we haven't gotten there yet, then I will address that with KRRC and Kiewit directly to let them know that this is a public road, right? And the public is granted access in and out, and they're just borrowing.
Right.
So I'll make sure I stay on that, and if there are undue delays, I will hear about it and I will address it.
Is there a legal mechanism for that we have in place through the MOU?
There is not. That's not addressed in the MOU.
Should it be?
I mean, at least not in the MOU that I've seen. There are other MOUs. I will bring that up next time I speak to them.
I'm looking for some, push comes to shove. I want you to be able to have the teeth to be able to enforce something.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah, and this is Ed Karen, County Council. I can look into whether there's any type of contractual agreement come to if this were to become a problem.
Well, the easiest way to handle that, in my opinion, was we can tie it to our encroachment permits that they're going to need to use for working in our roadway.
Right.
And that's where we get the pilot car flagging and everything else. So if they're in violation of the encroachment permit, we can take it from there.
Okay. And my other question is on the real-time issues, immediate damage kind of issues. County picks up the maintenance for timber harvest plans on non-appurtenant roads to a timber harvest plan. I don't know if there are any active in the area or not, but I'm interested to know how the county is going to be able to redeem that responsibility of maintaining that road in real time, and is that expense going to fall on us for the damage, or is it going to fall on them?
Good question. So, as part of the talking about the MOU and getting it massaged exactly where it needs to be, Kiewit had $1.5 million. That's not the number, but it's close to that. Dollars set aside for doing dig outs. My proposal was they hold that money back and use that to repair the road in real time where damage occurs, instead of trying to anticipate the areas that would be damaged and repair them ahead of time. That is one tactic that we're going to take to try to get that fixed. And my position as road commissioner is any undue damage on the road, that's going to be on them. Because of the FERC exemptions that are required, I'm writing a blanket permit and they notify me, right, when they're going to be hauling heavy loads in. That removes me of the luxury of putting for an ultra heavy load, for example, putting in conditions for them to repair the road when they're at when it's done. So the onus is on them to repair the road if I don't get to look at every single load that goes across there.
Okay, I just don't want us to be able to want them to be hampering other commercial activity.
I understand.
I support completely your recommendations for the MOU. Just keep us apprised if it isn't going as quickly as it should or if it's dragging out. And I think just the whole thing to remember is the county didn't ask for this. Our residents didn't ask for this. This was basically encumbered on us, and we need to be made whole, just like any other project that would come to town. There's unintended consequences that are going to occur, and the project proponent needs to be aware of that, and that's part of doing business, and the county shouldn't have to be putting any part of the bill. So I'll just leave it at that. Thank you for your work on this, though.
Thank you.
So I'll say this, because I've worked up there back in one of my telephone days, the roads were never good to begin with. So the fire chief mentions about the guardrails. I've long thought there should be more guardrails, but I support doing that after the project done. I would also like, I always call the skin of the game, I think we should look, because I haven't seen a stick project up there in years since I've been there. I know there was a job out there way back when, because I know the lines were rerouted. So anyways, you know, I think we should try to put some our own effort into it, because they were our roads to begin with. They weren't brand new, to say the least. So, you know, maybe we get more out of it. I don't want as the condition is now. I want better, is what it comes down to. That's what I think the people deserve out there. And then as far as the traffic and all that, you know, I think that gets taken care of. I will tell you that locals were just as bad about speeding all the times I was out there. So make sure that, you know, that it's both ways. Maybe we get some signage board at the very beginning. You know, I think everyone's aware of what's going to happen, so I think it self-mitigates on that front. Certainly this outfit, Kiewit and them, are attuned to what we are up against. I expect full compliance from them. So thank you for reaching out on the speeding, because that did have an effect pretty quick and fast.
All right. Thank you.
Anything else from the board? Meeting adjourned.